So today's daf is daf Mem Zayin. The last thing that we learned is a whole new approach. A whole new approach to understanding our Mishnah. That the Mishnah, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to move the Ner because of the fact, strangely enough, it's considered to be a basis of the Raha Asur for the flame. And even though the flame itself is on top of the Ptila, which is on top of the Shemen, which is on top of the Ner, there are many who are Medayik from here, that therefore there's a Basis, Libasis, the Basis, the Varasur, and so on. Others are Cholik, because over here clearly it's all one system. So it makes sense to say that the thing that's on the bottom is considered to be a Basis, but the thing that's all the way on the top, because they're interrelated. Does that necessarily mean that if you have, let's say, this is a common situation of a tray, you put the meirot on top of a tray, and then you put the tray on top of the table. Does the table become now a basis of davar asur? It's as many steps away as this thing is over here. Unfortunately, of course, we paskin that it does, but that's based on the diak and rashi later. You can't move the table. Nonetheless, you're allowed to eat on the table, because again, if there's no pressure moving, there's nothing wrong with using.
Even if something was also on the table?
Well, that becomes the question of basis of davar asur on the table. Which we'll talk about actually today is going to be our main topic. But this raises the other question. Again, what about moving, the mashma'ut of this is that there wouldn't be a chash of Shema Yechaber. And there wouldn't be an actual Dabra Asr, that there's a basis too. That it ought to be not a problem, but well, since we do pasuk, like Rabbi Shimon and Muktzah. If there's no basis at all, so then even though he's, let's say we have an electric, somebody brought up the question of an electric lamp, an electric lamp. And we have many similar things, by the way. Mm-hmm. But electric lamps, you have these electric heaters. You move on your electric heater. You have an electric, you have an electric blanket. It's even worse. You have an electric kettle.
You think the object itself is a lamp, or?
Well, in the heater, you could say that the thing is a basis for the clean inside. I mean, so enough, now the Rav Meisha says that mikra then really is mutter. You can move a lamp also if it's on top of a lamp. So, after it goes out. The only thing is that since people really can't, you can't start explaining to people that there's a difference between electrical lights and other lights. It's just outside, whatever. We'll leave it outside. But enough, you know, I mean, those things where it isn't clearly something that people identify as the equivalent of an air heater, you know. And look, I'm going to move that on Shabbos, move it around. No chash going to be menatzeke. No chash shem yichaber. Certainly, if the kli itself, let's just say it's an electric blanket, yeah, it's true, it's about electric blanket. So there certainly would be no problem with electric.
It's rolling radiators.
Yeah, another good one. Yeah.
Another
very good example.
What was the relationship between Kisra and Kisra?
Sorry?
We mentioned last time Kisra and
Kisra. No, that's something that you prevail on, Markham, that you don't want to use, you want to move it. A table lamp, okay, that would be something. As the din of the Isser, because of Basis of Avarasa. No Basis of Avarasa. Okay, so let's continue on over here. Omer Rabbi Zeir, Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Omer Rabbi Ruminus, but the one we're going to focus on is the weak link in this chain. The weak link is Rabbi Yochanan. He's going to be the weak link. We got quite a chain over here. Li Hitir Rabbi Betaltel Machtab Ofra. That Rabbi said, I could move around the machta, which is used for the incense, which at that time was very, very common. It was incense for the god, and incense at the end of the seuda, and so on. And the shaila is that there's ash left over. L'chor, the ash is moksa. And the shovel is a basis of davar asa, the ash. So it's a davar now that's moksa in it. It shouldn't be movable. And yet, we find over here that Rabbi Zeira is quoting Rabbi Ruminus as saying that generations ago Rabbi was matur for him to move this around. So Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Asi, how could Rabbi Yochanan have possibly been part of that chain? Yomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Ratznan, Notel Adam Beno, Ve'evin Biyadon. We have a mission when it says a person is allowed to lift up his child, even though the child is holding a rock. O Kalkalar, for that matter, he can even lift up a tray that has an Evan in it. So, and so far that sounds great. Problem is that Omer Rabba Rabba Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, we're only talking about a kalkalam le'apirodeski. That since this is a serving platter, it's got a lot of different things on it that are edible. So therefore, you're allowed to move it, even though there's also something that is not movable, such as the stone. This doesn't become a basis of davar asur, because there's things that are very choshev in it. And therefore it's not tafel, the whole meaning of the basis becomes tafel to that which is on it. But certainly over here, we're going to say that the basket or the serving platter is batel to the stone. I mean, the main thing here is the perot, not the stone. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan is essentially saying that without that, alet bateri lo, without that, you're not going to be allowed to move it. So how could Rabbi have possibly allowed Rabbi Ruman, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to move a shovel that only was filled with ashes? Boy, that really caught him off. Shlomo Bishachar is absolutely in shock. Good Lord, we have to think of that. So that's based on a pasuk in Daniel, in which when Daniel heard the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he was pretty much in shock. What does it mean? Tell me. And of course, that was the reaction of Nebuchadnezzar. So here he's silent for a moment. He's in shock. And then he realized there may be a way out of this. You know what? We'll have to understand that Rebbe was mater Rebbe Ruminus to move that machta because it had leftover unburned livona in it, whatever slice of usually burned. And therefore that was still usable, and therefore it was a basis of davar asur mutar, and you could move it just like the kakala shel perot that had perot in it. Omer Abaya, that's not a very good terrace. You're saying that what you're saying is that even though it's full of ashes, but the fact that there's a few usable, we actually use a carrot, grains, yeah. There's like a few grains of a vona. I mean, kratinte Rebbe bichashive. When you're telling me in Rebbe's house, somebody like didn't pay attention to the fact that there were grains there. Okay. So why would it be kosher? And maybe you'll tell me, okay, it's not kosher to him, but I mean, it's kosher to other people. Maybe that's the way we should define by some sort of basic level of kashivut, not defined by the individual particular usage. Speaking of chazula aniyim, we are Tanya. Big day aniyim. Big day ashrim la'ashrim. We have the shiur of 3x3 for tuma of etzba'ot versus 3x3 of tvachim, which for ashrim is a beged only if it's 3x3 tvachim. But aniyim la'ashirim lo. I say because a beggar is roy, this is going to be midras dynastasis, which we have to define it as the beggar. So there, it's actually defined by your actual usage. So here we do the same thing, and it's, you're going to say something that's roy for ani to an ashir in Rebbe's house shouldn't be flushing. Now, of course, this runs counter to the Tosfos that we spoke about before the woman who made the net. Remember that the whole problem that Tosfos had was if a woman makes a net. And the Gemara asks, how could she be so sure that her husband's going to be matan and matan on Shabbos for her? And therefore what? No, so she's not sure. And therefore, even though he would be matan and matan, the things that she would have wanted to eat, she can't eat anyway, because it's muksa. And Tosfos says, what do you mean? I mean, just because she's not going to eat it doesn't mean it's muksa. It's right for somebody else to eat. And here the Gemara seems to be running against his whole assumption. I mean, it does have to say over there, it's talking about the chiatzah done on Kulei Almak Hegdesh or other, but the idea is that min hastam, we would have assumed that something that's right to someone. So why over here would we say by Rebbe not? And indeed, there's some Rishonim who argue with Tosfos based on this and say, you see clearly from this Gemara that your own personal usage is what's going to define the usability of the thing. This Machlokas course brought up a guy with the question on medication. It's obviously not necessarily applicable because we know that medication is considered to be usable by anyone since anyone could be sick. But anyway, this becomes part of the shadows of Shuvas about is there a din of muktzah on medicines for someone who isn't sick. Lemaisa, of course, it's possible to say, the Chazon Ish suggests, it depends on the standard. In Rebbe's house, Lemaisa, they would dump it. In other words, if this one, we're assuming a person has food, we're going to dump the food, we'll give it to somebody else. So over there, Tosfos is bothering them. Maybe they're not even arguing.
It's the nature of the household.
Exactly. But when it comes to Kratik, you're going to pick it out of the garbage, you take out the little pieces from the burn. It's not going to be done. If Lemaisa, it's not going to be done. You certainly can't say it's considered to be a basis of the varas of Abu Tar because my machshav is on this kratim. So therefore, it says Abaye, I have a better approach. El Amar Abaye, I say the reason you can move out the shovel of the incense is meaning to have the idea of shalrei. Are you allowed to take out a chamber pot on Shabbat? Now, certainly that should be muktzah. What in the world do you do with the contents of a chamber pot? The reason that we allow you to move it out is because it's disgusting. So the Chazal were never gozer on a situation. We're going to force you to leave something disgusting in your home because it's muksa to move it out. We're going to gozer over that
Isn't that itself a reason for Musa? Musa Martin's
Mirror? Fine. Yes, but that over here is a reason that after to allow you to speak it. You're right, it is. So this also becomes essentially, it's something that's unpleasant. It makes you uncomfortable having your, I mean, you're leaving ashes around, and therefore you can take it out. Amar Rava says, Rava, I love the way you make these leaps. Shtei tshuvot, but there's two ways in which have nothing to do with anything. First of all, a derech sharei is disgusting. You're telling me that a shovel full of ashes is disgusting? It's just troublesome. You'd rather get rid of it. It certainly isn't disgusting. How do you know that there was no gezer of mukta on something that isn't disgusting? Now, broaden the category of gerev shorei to something that is just uncomfortable to have around. That's number one. High low money. Furthermore, a gerev shorei is mikli. It's an uncovered pot. The chamber pot. Over here, the way in which the tool is used usually is there's a cover over it. You light it, and then there's little holes that scatter the smell from the top. This is a kli in front of his neighborhood. His eyes are lighting up, I can tell. And therefore, it's a... There we go. There's always a little lead time, so you can introduce that.
Why should I make it?
What?
Why should I make it?
We don't see it.
Things that are not exposed are certainly much less likely to be considered a derech shorei, right? Elam Rava, look, if you're looking for another answer, I mean, your kratim issue is a valid issue. Your alternative explanation is a lousy explanation. I think, and this question is very nagalach lemaisa, because we often have situations that many people are matir as gerev shorei situations, which according from here are not gerev shorei situations. Such as, types of things. You leave on your table and so on. Shiloh, you can take them off because it's disgusting. I mean, lemaisa from here, brother's fairness is not disgusting. And there's been a lot of pumas over the generations. But how far to extend the idea of gerev shorei? Rav has taken as pretty definitive about that, that it's something that doesn't have elements of disgust in it. Okay, I mean, that garinim, if people spit out, that's more disgusting. You know, okay, it's already, it's not clear exactly what the limitations are. And there's other etzes, of tilach or yad, or something that's right from achabema, and that might still be used, and since people eat garinim, are those kind of people, you know, oh my Rav, hello my Rav, I'll tell you. You have a basic mistake in the whole thing. There's no mukta here. That's the point. There isn't any mukta. He's saying there's a basista davarasa. What's a davarasa? The ash is perfectly usable on Shabbos. Because the standard was to use ash to cover things that couldn't be washed on Shabbos. So we use that. Somebody spit on the floor, he puts some ash on it. So therefore, it's considered to be mukha. And I understand what the problem is.
Even though it didn't exist there of Shabbos.
It did exist there of Shabbos. We're understanding this as not having been mukta for some of the time. But rather, the only problem was the question of basis, not muksumat basisur. Just like the case that we're talking about in our mission.
Sawdust.
Basically, the way we would use sawdust in certain places, exactly. And industrially, do that all the time. In garages oil and so on, oil spills, you just spill sawdust over, they use kitma. So this was roi agav the kitma. Therefore, says Rav, I could tell you, halakha l'maisa, when we were by Rav Nachman, we always used to be allowed, avimetalina kinuna, agav kitman, and the kinuna is the equivalent of our little space heaters. Well, did they have space heaters? Obviously, then they weren't electrical. They put in like a little bit of coal, and you can move it from place to place.
Warmers.
Still use them.
Same
principle, room warmer. And when it burned out, and there was still ash in it, and so on, we were allowed to move it. They said we could move it because of the kitman, because of the ash. But the ash is going to be usable. And the chiddush was, I mean, this is what's the chiddush. The chiddush was, afagav the ikal eshivrei etzim. The chiddush over here is that when he said Rebbe allowed as a shot, even though we have, or in that case, there's a little bit of broken pieces of wood that haven't burned, or in this case, there was still things that were not actually usable. But adarabah, the kitma was what was right. So what's saying is that even though there may be shivrei etzim that are not usable on Shabbos, but you have a basis of davar asur v'amutar. The mutar was the kitma. Not the asur was the kitma. That's what Rabbi Ruminez was saying. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that? Mesve, the shavim, here is fascinating halacha, that even though Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Shimon argue about the din of our Mishnah of Mutzur Machmas Mius of the Ner Yoshan Shalcheres, but they agree, the shavim, that in a case where Shivrei Ptila fell into the Ner, that then, even Rabbi Shimon is made, which can't be metalto. Because since we've already established that the din is that you have a basis for davar ha'asur, and that's the reason he doesn't allow you to move it when it's burning. The petila is also considered to be, remains now, the useless. So if it has shibrei petila in it, Rabbi Shimon has also made it that you can't move it over there because it was never, the fire was never bottled. This becomes now basis, the devar asur. In this case, the devar asur is to the rock, so to speak, to the petila. You have broken petila?
Is this burnt on Shabbos or petila still
from Shabbos?
No, now, it's in it right now. Who cares? Before it was a basis to the shalhev, it remains a basis because it's a shibrei petila. So it never becomes mutter. And it's just, so why, what's the problem? I mean, that there's a little bit of oil left over also. And so what's, why, you're telling me here that everybody agrees it's also a tatel? Why isn't that, the question is what we're focusing on. Rashi learns that the focus is over here on the fact that lemaisa, this petila, should not be considered to be chashuv, since it's only like little broken materials. And the answer, according to him, is that begalila shanu, we're talking about in the Galil, Rashi, as Tosis points out here, has this sheet that throughout Shas, that whenever we contrast the Galil to anywhere else, it's contrasting it because in the Galil they were poor. And therefore the tilot over here, they didn't have access to a lot of pishtim, which was the standard for the tilah. And because of that, even shibrei petila wouldn't become bottle.
They'd reuse them.
And they would reuse them. Tosis brings many riyas, and on the contrary, in the Galil they were rich. And he goes, there's different things throughout Shas, where Tosis keeps arguing with Rashi. I don't know, but they were richer in the Galil, not poorer in the Galil.
They
were different. Yeah, exactly, that's what they say. That's how I got rich. That's right. So Tosis says, on the contrary, the point over here is that the oil, normally you'd say, okay, so but the oil is usable. So what's the difference if there's a little bit of tila? So it's a basisa davaras v'amutan. Ah, but in the Galil they had so much oil that oil was bottom. So the Nela, you were left with the ash of something that was burning on Shabbos. You can't use now. So therefore, not ash, but actual broken tila. So it remains a basisa davaras. Levi by Shmuel ashkechino l'rabba l'ravuna barchia. Are they kind of piskar v'ravuna? Levi by Shmuel finds Rabba Ravuna barchia. And there, in front of Ravuna's door, and the shaila was, you allowed, I mean, apparently they're coming in for staying over Shabbos, you know. He wants to know, you allowed to put together a folding bed on Shabbos. So he says to them, Ma'o lahachzer mita shel tarsi. Now the problem is, Tosfos is machalek earlier, the folding bed may be mutter, but a bed that you have to screw the pieces together are also. The mita shel tarsi was, at least we thought, was talking about where it needed to be screwed together. And therefore, he wanted to know whether there was a chashash over here, maybe makba pakish. Even if you don't hold the yesh binyan
b'tiri. Putting it together?
Putting it together.
Not taking it apart.
No, putting it together.
Why is it called
lahafsir? Lahafsir means to put it back together. Like we say, back together. Relaying shopping, I mean, no problem. That's what kind of review, no? So they went to review, they told him what he told them. He said, well, I don't know what they're talking about. They're all Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, Dar Mitavayel, Amarzim, Mitzi, Shotarzim, B'Shabbat, Chayav, Chatat. Get about it, Shaila, Mitzi, Rabbanan. It's just a derisa. It's real makeba patish. Neitve hamagzir tnei minorah b'shabbat. Chayav chatat. Knei sayadin lo yagzir. Im yagzir patur aval asur. So here, we first introducing for the first time some subtleties in this. It's not all that simple. If you're talking about putting together a lamp in which you can add pieces, and you have more people, you can add, we talked about the menorahs, the kamotim, where you could screw in additional pieces. They sell these for, you know, if you're going to have more children, you need another lamp, you can keep adding. No, seriously, you know, they have it starts off as a single thing, and they've got a two-piece and a three-piece and a six-piece. So if you screw in a kaneh on this menorah, you're chayav chatat, because you're, this is mamish the makeh b'patish of this thing. And so, what possible way out of it? It's the kanesha sayadin. Kanesha sayadin is basically a paint roller. So the paint roller, you have an extendable paint roller, and we simply add extra pieces. When you're doing the ceiling, you add extra pieces to get to the ceiling, and you can reach the dome. As you get down, you have to unscrew it, because you can't use a big cleaning to take care of the wall underneath. But what this means is that as you move, you're constantly taking out and adding pieces. You can't call that mock of a package, because there's nothing, there's no standard size. It'll say, I now have completed it. You never complete it. It needs to be changed all the time. That's not called makabapati. You could say it's similar to binyan and so on, asur and rabbanan, but certainly it would be potter because it's meant to be constantly changed. So in exir potur aval asur, Rabbi Simai has an additional interesting case. in which he says, Karen Agula Chayav, and Karen Pshuta Patur. Now, the Karen was basically, this is a fascinating thing, it was basically a base for an instrument, a wind instrument. As a Karen, you couldn't make much more than one sound with it. But it had holes in it that allowed you to screw in extensions, or maybe like more like a clarinet, which would be able to play the extensions. So there's two types. There's the Karen Agula, which is a professional musical instrument, and then you would actually screw in the pieces depending on what you wanted to use it as, a flute or a clarinet or a saxophone. So this was the basic round Karen. And then you had a type, which was a Karen Pshuta. Over there, you played it like a Khalil, in which you could stick in that extra piece on the bottom of the Khalil to extend the range a little bit. But just like a stick-in piece, that already was not considered to be, you know, a Kli that required tightening and so on. So over there, if it's a Karen Agula, so there you would mamish bichaya, because that's a maase uman. It's the way in which you... Yeah. No, this is that Kli. You could change it and turn it. So they had a bass wind instrument, which you could turn into the instrument that you decided to play. It's certainly not a Kanish Shel Tarsian.
The next thing you want
to
play...
Well, you may sell it to somebody who will use it as a saxophone instead of a clarinet. It's not like but it's that kind of... No, no, no.
Take it apart no. And I want to play this...
It's not like a fret. On a, right. Yeah. So, Mashenkin, if it's a simple Karen, over there you're just meant to be moved in and out and so on. That's not an issue. So, that's the Rabbanan asked it because of the similarity. But, I mean, there's nobody who did really... How in the world did they say it's mutter? Nobody here is matir putting together something. I mean, even if they want to say it's more similar to a Karen, it's certainly not mutter. Everyone has a mutter l'chatchila. They seem to really have been wrong. No, they have a source. Inu domer ki haitana. Actually, they were passing like Rav Shimon, as we'll see. The Tanya, malbeinota mita, ukra'ota mita, ulvachim shel skivas, lo yachzir v'yemechzir patur. Now, if you have things that malbeinot are little, you know, in the carpeting where they have a little cup on the bottom of the mita that allows you to put a mita down so that it doesn't scratch the floor or doesn't make a... Yeah, that's a type of, what do they call it? Casters. Casters don't have to be moved around.
Different kinds.
Same, but they call the wheel ones also casters.
The round ones are called casters, but it could be the government.
Okay, but yeah, but that type of thing. So that's on Shabbat, or for that matter, Kra'ot Amina, which are extensions, or Levachim Shaskivas, which is the little piece of wood that you put into your bow when you want to shoot an arrow. It has that little indentation. So it prevents the arrow from ultimately eating through the bow. It's like that little piece where you have like the... And many bows, they make them with like little reeds around the middle. You know, there's always a little bit around the middle to protect it. So here they had replaceable ones. Yeah. So if you put that in, you know, on Shabbos, you shouldn't put it on Shabbos, but even if it's your potter, abalasser. Now you have to be very careful in the cases that if you do such a thing, not to screw it in. But im takar chayav chatat, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, im haya rafui mutar. And this is who they were relying on. If it's not something that is similar to actually building it and screwing it in, it's just a piece. It says, we were talking about that we had earlier in the parrot. If you're talking about something that doesn't even come out, like our bed, you just about pull it up. So it's not like you put together two pieces. That is mutter. So if it's something that's loose, it's not meant to klal to ever be screwed in. And therefore, it would be mutter l'chatchila. Just like Tosfos learns over here that it's not it. It's difficult to believe, says Tosfos, that we're talking about a machloket min hakatzeh l'hakatzeh. The one says you'd be chayachatas, the other one says you'd be mutter. Even l'chatchila. He's saying it in a different case. If, when maize, it's a type of thing which doesn't have that option of doing it b'chaska, and it's meant to be rough with, so then it should be mutter. That's what they were talking about in Mita Shel Tarsi. And that's what it mattered, l'chatchila. They were chama, avi mita galal mita, avi mahad alev yomatava. He had basically a portable bed. It was similar. Rashi says it's the same type of thing. Tarsim or tinkerers, they go from place to place. They set up basically it's the equivalent of their what we would have as a sleeping bag. You know, so they tie around them a mita shel tarsim. So he had a mita gal mita.
Like an
armika? Yeah, it's like an armika. And having a mita on yontif, he would put it together. Why is this winter? My guy says it's what, because maybe you're saying it's binyan min atzad. In other words, you're not really doing it.
It's a kli, isn't it?
Yes, but we'll see later on some machlokes in yesh binyan mekalim. But even not Rashi learns the issue in this sugya throughout is even referring to ain binyan mekalim as makalim. So, I mean, even if you're tied into Minatzad, every Minatzad needs the Yisur the Arayat HaLech. I mean, there's still an Yisur on it. Over here, why are they being martyred? Omar Le Ana, Gripshim, Rinam Yosfir. Yomar Ima Yarafui Mutar. The issue isn't over here that it's Minatzad. The issue is that something that is meant to be constructed in this fashion without binyan, it's meant to remain loose, that it's foldable, openable, and closable, is not considered a halal to be shayat, not to Makiv HaFatish, not to binyan, and therefore it's mutar even lefatkiyot. This was the Mishnah we had quoted earlier to distinguish between the shemen and the ner. So here it says you could put a container underneath the ner to allow the nitzotzot to land in them. Now even if you hold, according to the sheet in Rav Kista, that in kli nitel el tzor dover hanitel, we'd have to be mechalik that this is called, as the Gemara said, hatzala mitzuyan. Mashenke, the case of the shemen is hatzala she'ena mitzuyan. Is a little bit strange. So Tosus's explanation over there was that the problem with the shemen is that it's so mitzuya that everybody takes care of it before Shabbos. Nobody puts a lamp on a tablecloth because everybody takes into consideration it's going to drip. You always put something under your lamp. Masha Inkin, where you have an issue of, you know, little pieces that can go floating over your table, say, you know, of burning ash. People don't think of that. They'll put something directly under. They won't, you know, worry about it until it actually happens. They see it happening, they get worried. So then it's already likely that it wasn't done before Shabbos, but it's certainly included in something that is mitzuyah. So Rav Chisda would have been mounted that case is Hatzala mitzuyah. So over there we spoke about it. What about if you hold Eim Abafim Kli Mechano? That's a problem. So we answered it over there, and we're going to go through that again here. If you hold that there's an issue of Eim Abafim Kli. So then we said, because of the Tzotzot, do not have any Mamashut Beklov. To Asr, the Kli. So it doesn't become a basis of the Barasu. But, and here's the new thing we didn't talk about before, lo yiten atof of mine. You can't put water in that fish. Because he's going to cause the burning ash to be extinguished more rapidly than otherwise. So let's start at the beginning. We'll talk about it in a moment. Again, we raised the issue that we already went through. What's the heter to do this? As we explained earlier, we don't view nitzotzot as creating this or in the kli, so the kli remains movable. That's interesting because there's a big machlokus later on whether you're allowed, in the event of a fire, can you fill up containers with water so that when the fire reaches the containers, they burst from the heat, releasing the water to put out the fire. So, I mean, over here, the Stam Mishnah seems to be saying that even though it's a gram kivui, it's only a goring, the fire came to me, I'm just sitting here. I mean, so, that is asur. So are we going to say now, lema tans stavak rav yoshi, dom a goring le kivui asur? Is that the point of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, what's the matter? I don't think this has anything with rav yoshi. But it is rahim al yom rav yoshi b'shabbat. But rav yoshi said, rav yoshi, we're talking about on Erev Shabbos, not on Erev Shabbos. Rav Yossi in a million years never would have dreamt, nobody would have discussed it, Rabbanim wouldn't have discussed an issur to put up a firewall in the event there's a fire on Shabbos, that I can't put it up before Shabbos. And here we're talking about before Shabbos. No, maybe we're not. Maybe it means if there's a plate there, don't pour water on the plate, and then have whatever falls into the plate go out. Maybe that's what it means. No, it's not what it means, because the Braisa says, Vatanya, Notnim kli takat aner lekabel nitzotzot b'shabbat, ve'in tarik lomar be'erev Shabbat. Obviously, you could put the kli down before Shabbat, but lo yiten lo tocho mayim mipnei shu mechaber, even on erev Shabbat. Ve'in tarik lomar b'shabbat. Now that can't possibly be because of gram kibui. No, it's of gram kibui in erev Shabbat. It's crazy. I mean, we're allowed to do anything on erev Shabbat as long as it does itself. That would be like setting up a Shabbos clock. No, is there a chance setting up a Shabbos clock over here? Setting up the Shabbos clock is that when it gets heated to a certain level, it opens and puts out a fire. What's wrong with that? Classic.
Great idea.
Yeah. You know the old
thing. Sprinkler system, huh?
Yeah, the sprinkler system, which we had also earlier. The early Shabbos clocks were actual wind-up clocks. Because all the old electrical bulbs were always turned off before they installed those things. You pull the string. So you would tie the string to the thing that went around in the back. So then when the clock went off, the wind-up thing starts turning. And it pulls, and it would wrap around the string, and the string would pull the light off. So the Marmaduke.
When is this?
What?
20th
Yeah. In New York, in the Amalgamated. That's what they use. So, why would it possibly be Usar's ground keyword? So that can't be the explanation. El Amr of Ashi, we'll have to say this is a whole different issue over here. I'll take a paper on Bonan. First thing we have to do is we have to note the difference. To say that I put something in a container which will open when there's a fire, I understand that that's not a problem. Certainly before Shabbos, not a problem. Kind of maybe it's a grama on Shabbos, but certainly it's not a problem before Shabbos. The question over here is, since the water, there's no intermediate step. Because I'm putting the water in a place in which it's now, will be mechaber immediately. If Lamaisa the wick falls into it, then it's going to be mechaber directly, not by causing something to break, which then. So this is, not secretion, direct, not called grom. It's not grom, it's direct Hebrew. Now, obviously, there's no wisdom doing that before Shabbos either. This is only a gezerah in which we're afraid that if we're mocking you to do this before Shabbos, so you'll think, okay, I'm not really doing anything right now. And therefore, you'll do it on Shabbos itself. Is that so terrible? It's also not so clear. The way it does understands it is that if you do it, we allow you to do this kind of thing, you could do it to show that the thing is falling. In other words, you take a cup, you're about to pour it into the thing, a wick falls at that point, and you pour it in, so then your mom is being mechada as it's coming in. Or the natural tendency would be, says Tosfos, to lift up the plate to catch the wick. But then if you lift up the plate, then that's literally key, because then you're bringing the water to the flame rather than the flame just going into the water by itself. So that's Mamish Kibbutz. So Manela, we answer this as sort of a gezerah, all one big gezerah. Don't play with the fire on Shabbos, so to speak. Okay, so it has nothing to do with Gram Kibbutz.
But you candle in a glass of water, so when it gets down to a certain level, it'll be put out automatically to save the candle? Is that
that's the stage. You can't do that. This is the whole shaila of the... Yeah, yeah. But the question of floating... This is the shaila about the floating oil on water.
Save the oil?
So over there, it's nothing to do with kiwi, really. It just runs out of the oil. Saying that's the time is that there's no interest in kiwi and perhaps no kiwi. Because until the shaman is used up, the water isn't mechaber. Possibly. To some remarkably.
Now it's the case that it's solid candle.
No, but many people use oil.
Still use
sure. Hadran Allah. Wait. There we go. Hadran Allah. You are.
It
was worth waiting for. Now, we spoke before about the question of Hatmana. We've spoken about Shia at length, and we've spoken about Hazara at length. How about Hatmana, which we only touched on for a moment over there? And we said before that you can't be mocking. We only touched it because we said there's Shlosh Dvarim that you're supposed to say, and we got into the question of things that you could do Bein HaShemashot. Okay, so we got into that whole thing, and we just spoke about it for a moment, that we have a Gezerah, that we're afraid that you may end up being matmin beremetz. If you're matmin beremetz, it's hot coals. There's a possibility that maybe you'll come with a chitui. Actually, we're going to talk. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I just want to begin the parak here. There's a whole really different approach to the whole Atmana issue, by according to the Rambam. So, what type of things are considered to be mosif hebel? That we said before, you cannot be tomein. Remember, a big machlok is what is Atmana. Is Hatmana the covering up some extent of a pot, or is Hatmana the complete covering of the pot? It's either complete or it's not Hatmana. But one thing is for sure, it has to be up against the pot. It's certainly not Hatmana. That's Hashaya. You're not going to say every Shagia is Hatmana because there's something hot next to it. Let's say, if you hold Lamaisa, that you don't need to cover the whole thing. So then what is the difference? Is the difference only the fact that since it's on top of the Kira, so now it's exposed to the air, so it's going to cool off. So how about if I put it into a tanur? We never asked it. If the tanur was garuf and katum, all we're doing it is leaving it there. Why isn't that Hatzmona? Because there's a tremendous difference between something that's up against the fat, where over there you can have this, because they're actually active in colon, and so on and so forth, or something which is the kli that keeps things out.
Empty space.
Exactly. So a lot of these things that look like Hatzmona, they used to, I don't know if they still do, but it was very popular to have ovens that had a little thing on top. It's called the well. A well in the oven, you would lower the pot into the well and it'd stay there for a long time. Huh? You had the old chamber stoves, where it was very, very popular. You'd keep things warm for a long time in there, so on. And my grandparents used to use it, or she was at South Boston, it was okay, because there was no nigia in the side of the pot. So it's basically a tunnel, that's all it is. So Hatmana for sure needs that. Shilas does have to be all around. Okay, that we saw the machlokas.
When you say all around, it definitely does, but don't, even if it's all around, it doesn't have to be the time.
Yes, but Lamaisa, we're machmer. It's completely mechusa.
Completely
mechusa. That was not the question.
Except
we're talking. Yeah, we'll talk about it again when we get to the detail. So, what are these things? Ein tomnim lo begefet, and we already spoke about gefet. Gefet is the leftovers of the pressed olives, which remain hot for a long time because they are slowly oxidized. So you can't, that's called mosif havo. We said you can't put in something that's mosif havo because we're afraid of Hatzmona b'remetz. The lobe is zevel, certainly zevel also a compost that's hot. What's interesting is the mission includes things that we would never have thought are considered to be heat sources, yet it includes it in mosif havo. The lobe melach, the lobe seed.
Is it deliberately
is what?
Is deliberately low
vanilla
supposed to be low
vanilla,
or
is it
a different category?
I don't know. Not that I ever saw anybody mention. V'lo b'chol, bein lach, bein yevechim. Yerushalmi had some comments about chol. V'lo b'teven, okay, teven indeed oxidizes. V'lo b'zagin, which is the equivalent in grapes of what the gefet is for the olive, could be the leftover pressed grapes. The lo b'mochin, that's really weird. Not in little pieces of material. Of course, only if they're wet, as we'll see. The lo b'asavim, bizman she'en lachi. If they are wet, they're damp. Avot tomnim b'em kishem yaveshi. But you can be tomnim in all of these latter cases, after the b'en lachim b'en yaveshim, if these are dried. Now, you said gefet. Yibayadu. Gefet shall zeitim t'nan.
Go on, Erishan.
Even on Erev Shabbos. Yeah. The Gefet shall say Tim Tzanan. Avo desum semin shakir dami. O dilma desum semin tzanan. Hakoshkin to say Tim. The word Gefet is used for many types of oil leftovers, pressed fruits or other things, which would include sesame. So the normal, if you say Gefet stam, I mean, I know that the thing that gets really hot is the Gefet of Zaytim. Is the mission mean only Gefet Zaytim? And sum semin is not considered to be sufficiently mosif havo? Or does it mean even sum semin? Tashma, the Omer Bizera, Mishum Chad, Ve Rav Yanai, Kupa, Shetamanba, Asur La Hamicha, or Gefet Shel Zeitim. If you have a container that you have covered with things, so let's say you have like an insulated blanket around something, you can't put that pot with its covering on top of Gefet Shel Zeitim. So Shema Amina Shel Zeitim. Apparently it's only Gefet Shel Zeitim. No, not at all. We're talking about two different things over here, my dear friend. Here, you weren't matzmin it in that. You were matzmin it in whatever was insulated. Maybe mochin, foam rubber, I don't know. Now you're saying you don't want to put a heat source under it, because then it's mostly terrible. That's not the same thing as hatzmana in the thing itself. In other words, if I'm being matzmin in the gefret of sumsumi, maybe that's hot enough over here, you're saying, as a secondary heat source to something which is beikar mechuseh with things that are not mosif havo, such as material or polyfill or something like that, then it doesn't matter if there's a little bit of heat being generated by the oxidation of the sumsumin. There you'd need a significant heat source to answer. That makes sense? But so that's in asuke havla. If you're talking about over here, you were matmin in polyfill. And you put that on top of gefet. Okay, so the only thing over there is that it's mala hevel, the heat rises from it, goes up into the pot that is now covered with the foam. Okay, so there is zeitim, and only zeitim maybe is hot enough to be maske havla. The sumsumin lo maske havla. But that doesn't prove that you can actually be mounting it directly into Simpson, which would be an entirely different issue. And that does it for him and does it for this time.
Is a crock pot an issue?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's the number of yields, the number of the any number of the ruminals. Li tir Rebbe Latalto Machatab Afra. Omale Rebbe Zer Le Rebasi. How could that be? Miomer Rebbe Yochanan. Votznano Teladam Benova Evan Biadoa Kalkala Evan Betocha. And Rabbi Barbar Khan, according to Rebbe Yochanan, said, of course, this means Dafka Kalkala Malayapirotaskina. So you see that Rebbe Yochanan holds Taima, the Itzba. The electricity must be on. Taima the itba peri. You see, it's dafka because there's perot in it. Haled ba peri lo. Boy, that was shocking. Yishtomim kisha'achana. V'yomar hachanami dit be kartin. Omar abaya akaman kartin be rebi mi chashive. V'chitei mechozu laniyim. V'atani bidei aniyim laniyim bidei ashrim lashrim. Aval daniyim lashrim lo. Elom rabbi mirin avi agerav shorei. Omar rova. So it's because the Efer itself is Muchan. That's talking about in the Galil. Lady Bashmuel Ashkechina L'Rabba Abba L'Ravuna Bachia Tavi Kaima Apitcha Tavei Ravuna Amalu Ma'ala Chazir Mita Shal Tarsim Shabbat Omer Lai Shabri Dami Atta L'Kaim L'Rav Yud Amar, what do you mean? Ma'ala Shmuel Amba Tavei Amar Chazir Mita Shal Tarsim Shabbat Chayav Chatat Meitze Amar Chazir Kenei Menorah B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat Kanas Hayadin Lo Yachzir V'Yachzir Potra Avalozer Rabbi Simoi Omer Keren Agula Chayav Keren Peshuta Patur. So how do you explain that? Inu diomati haitana, the Tanya. Malvinot amita, ochroot amita, levachim shal sekivas, lo yarzir v'imechir patur amal asur. V'lo yitka, v'imtaka chayav chatat, v'shimu yomir omer, ima yarafui mutar. Be'rav chano, avi mita galon mita, avi ma'ari lei biumatava. Omer lei ahumid rabbanu l'rava, ma'i da'i zeh. Binyam in a tzadu, nid isra di araita lef isra du rabbanam yeiku. Omar le anak rup shimen bengam wiel sverli. Di omar ima yarafui mutar. Notrin klita chata ner lekabel nitzotzot. Volo yiten letocho mayin. Mipnei shu mechabe. Volka mevat o klei mehechano. Omar vuna brele vishu nitzotzot. In ben mamash. Volo yiten letocho mayin. Mipnei shu mechabe. Leimetan stomak reviosi. Domar goreng lekivui asur. Ah, but his brain, but I'm Rabbi Yossi b'Shabbat. Be'erim Shabbat mi'amah. V'chi te'imar ha'nami b'Shabbat. Matanya, nothing kli takataner. Lekabel nitzotzot b'Shabbat. Ve'in tzorch lomer be'erim Shabbat. V'lo yiten etocho mayim v'tei shukabel mi'erim Shabbat. Ve'in tzorch lomer b'Shabbat. Elom Ravashi, afilu te'imar, Rabbanan. Sh'ani ha'cham yiten shimikarev et kivuyo directly. Adjonal of Kira. Bametom animu b'maintom nimintom lo b'gepet v'lo b'zev v'lo b'melach v'lo b'sid v'lo b'chol bein lachin bein yaveshin aval v'lo b'zagin v'lo b'bokin v'lo b'asavim b'zman shen lachin aval tomnim b'em k'shem yaveshin iboelo gepet shel zeytim t'nan avod esum semin shapidam odilma even the esum semin t'nan koshkem zeytim toshma diom rabbi zirum ishum chad v'rab yanay Kupa shataman ba solanicha gepet shal zeitim. Ha! Shmai mina shal zeitim za. No. Liola meimelacha linin hatmana sum suminamios. It's only here where we're talking about linin hatsuki havla. There zeitim maske havla sum sumin or not maske havla. Rather verb is there a iklu the verish gabuta. Chaz yula wab the dianach kuzin amaya pumidikum kuma. Naze rabbi. Omar le rabbi zera.